So let us fix our hearts and minds on Jesus. He is our strength. He gives us courage. And we seek his Spirit today to surround us with his love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We turn over the page to page 4. Please sit or kneel for our prayer of preparation. So we pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Christ died to sin once for all, and now he lives to God. Let us renew our resolve to have done with all that is evil and confess our sins in penitence and faith. Lord Jesus, you raise us to new life. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you forgive us our sins. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you feed us with the living bread. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, have overcome death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that, as by your grace going before us, you put into our minds good desires, so by your continual help we may bring them to good effect. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for our first reading.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to the uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men, sent to me from Caesarea, arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If then God gave them the same gift then that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia. I am the first and the last, says the Lord, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I think from that lovely last hymn, I think we've got the message from the gospel today, haven't we? Jesus gives us a new commandment. He gives a new commandment to his disciples. He gives it to us that we should love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Why is this commandment a new one? If you remember, the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament were simplified by Jesus. He made them into two, so we could remember them more easily. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And love your neighbour as yourself. That's important, that one. Love your neighbour as yourself. You must love yourself too. But now Jesus gives a new commandment. And we might be prompted to ask, why is this commandment new? When Jesus had already commanded his people to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor. And you may remember he said, love your enemies. So what's the differential here to love one another? Now in our gospel today, the departure of Judas, I think, is significant. It becomes the trigger in John's gospel for this long discourse or a long farewell speech from Jesus. But Judas departs first. And only when Judas left did Jesus speak about the future. He's preparing his disciples for his own departure. And Jesus wanted to assure them that his absence from them would not mean they would be abandoned. A relationship with Jesus will continue after the cross, after he was glorified and raised. And the transformative Holy Spirit that we hear of in the reading of the Acts of the Apostles, the Holy Spirit enabled the Jewish community to understand that God was at work in the lives of the Gentiles too. And the same Spirit would help the disciples to love one another. And it's this loving one another which can help people to see Christ in his people. Jesus isn't generally visible. I have heard someone say they've seen the risen Lord in an experience, but generally speaking, Jesus isn't visible to us, physically visible. But we can see Jesus in others. We can see Jesus in the way we're treated. And Jesus wants the body of Christ, his body, the body of Christ, the church on earth, to show his love and glory to others and to draw them too into a living relationship with God. For the reality is that to honour those commands to love God and to love our neighbour, perhaps the first step actually is loving one another as he has loved us. And you know, when we read the Gospels, there were times of disagreement amongst the disciples, and Jesus would become exasperated and had this longing in his heart that these disagreements had to be put to one side. And perhaps if you've been a parent and seen a difficulty in your own children, it hurts you as their parents to see them not getting on with each other. And from Jesus' perspective, the disciples, his family, he knew that if there was disagreement and anxiety and competitiveness, he knew the work of God would be hindered. There would be a resistance to the action of the Spirit if there was disagreement in the community. Jesus didn't want conflict or division. He wanted harmony. And so he did feel that although the disciples were ready to go out on his mission to continue his work, they needed this new commandment. Because in losing the physical presence of their master to control or to guide them, they might feel orphaned or afraid. The Holy Spirit would be a key part of helping them. But they would need each other's love to support one another and to safeguard their identity as Christ followers in difficult times. You know, when Jesus left his disciples, it was extremely dangerous to be known as a follower of Jesus. And it was in mutual love and support that they would stick together. Mutual love was the best remedy for the fear of being overwhelmed. The commandment to love one another, a necessity for a minority group under extreme pressure. And the first step towards honouring the other two love commands of God. Now, we might not suffer persecution in the way they did, but are we not ourselves in a minority now in other ways? And because we're human beings, and because we are the way we are at times, established church communities can be places where love is most severely tested. Committee meetings, power struggles, negative attitudes which can put big stumbling blocks in the way of the work of God. Now, I'm not preaching this to you because I think there's problems in St. Cross. I think we're a very happy church family. But I've seen it in my life in church communities where there is often problems and you think, where is Jesus in this? And of course, when that happens, it does get in the way of the Spirit of God working amongst his people. So in honouring Jesus' command to love one another, this must be our hardest and most essential work. We must work at it constantly. We must, so we can bear witness with integrity and become known. As Jesus said, he said, so that people will know that you are my disciples. It was important to Jesus that we are known as his disciples. Which takes us to our reading from the Acts of the Apostles. And here we see that action and blessing of the Holy Spirit coming on the church. And Peter comes to this realization, both in the preceding chapter and in chapter 11. Peter comes to the realization that this blessing of God's Spirit isn't just for the Jewish Christians who Jesus had first made himself known to, but it's for all who come to faith in him. The Gentiles are being given the Spirit too. And Peter knows that he has to be open to that and be willing to change his mind on things and to allow the work of God to bring change. Attitudes, historical attitudes that Peter had to change. And thus a unity comes about between Christians. So this commandment to love one another as I have loved you is not just a pithy quotation to stick on our kitchen notice boards. It's an important one. And it reminds us that in doing that, we make Jesus known. We can't limit it to an action of washing one another's feet, but rather loving one another comes from the core of who God is and who has been revealed to us decisively in Jesus. The rest of this farewell discourse in John's Gospel will explain what this love looks like, what this love feels like. There will be the promise of the Spirit to strengthen his people. There will be that image of the vine and the branches and the oneness of the relationship between the Father and Jesus, and so too between the Father and Jesus and his church. In our daily lives, our daily Christian lives, in the spirit of resurrection power, we're invited to live and lead our lives in such a way that the world will know that we are Christ's disciples. Perhaps you remember that hymn, and they will know we are Christians by our love. Amen. So let us sit or kneel for our prayers of intercession.
Dear Lord, in our prayers we praise and glorify you for all your goodness to us, for your created world and its beauty, for all the things which bring us peace and contentment, for those with whom we share your love, our families, our church family, and those we draw alongside each day. Help us to see prayer in all we live through and in all we do, commending you to those we meet, to tragedies we encounter on television or in newspapers, especially at this time, the people of Ukraine and Russia. Help us in this way to live lives of prayer, sometimes in quiet, sometimes when we are on the move, sometimes in joy, sometimes in horror. Help us to commend to you those who need our prayers, perhaps those setting off in this holiday season, perhaps our school children who face examinations, their teachers and assistants who are anxious for their children's success. Help us to think regularly of the sick, the lonely, the disheartened, and the afraid. That your peace, your healing, and your love may surround them. And at this time, we pray particularly for Marina Bennett, and for Faye Stevens. Lord, hold them in your loving arms. We pray for the work of the army of hospital workers, of doctors, physiotherapists, home help workers, and other health professionals. Whenever we see them, let us say a quiet prayer for them. And Lord, help us to hold a special place in our prayers for our older people, for those in our care homes, for those we meet each day. Let them be blessed by our smiles and care, and let us be blessed by their wisdom and experience. We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, and particularly we continue to remember Robert. We praise you for his life. We pray for his family and for his church family and all in whose lives he played a loving part. In all of these ways, Lord, help us to live lives of prayer alongside our Saviour Jesus Christ, who prays with us and walks with us. And help us to love one another as you have loved us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Our final hymn. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Number 743. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. In the name of Christ, alleluia, alleluia.